The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Blowing out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly, and Shannon Gross.
You're looking at a live shot of the Ford Center in Tostitos Plaza here at the Star in Frisco, Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. I want to send a special shout out to Cowboys Nation and thank you for listening in today on the HWTB podcast. And you're rocking with the best. This is Hekma Harrison, joined by my usual suspects, the guys that are always here in the SWBC Mortgage Studios. And across from me, a guy that looks like he has a 900 Beacon credit score. Is the editor of the Star magazine, Kurt Daniels.
Oh man.
And on nice. the phone. Come on, man. Let me get through my open. And on the horn with us from Oxnard is the three-time Super Bowl champion, Nate Newton. And I will address you as you have told me to address you. The Emmy nominated, never duplicated, a brother that's reaping the benefits and the blessings for everything that's out here for kings like us. My man, Jesse Holly, is in the building. What's good? What's good? How y'all doing, man? How was y'all weekend,
Beacon,
man?
Beacon 900 credit score is phenomenal. I think I may always address Kurt.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you, Kurt got at least a 900. Oh, when Kurt worked on the car lot, they start handing him the keys.
Can I go to being MA nominated?
That is amazing. Yeah.
What's up, Nate? How's everything, brother?
Everything is great, man. Glad that you guys are upbeat and ready to rock and roll. That is a great feeling.
Yeah, man, that's the only way to be. You know what I mean? I just want to come in here and show some love. And that's what I want y'all to know, that today is love day. It's love day on Hanging with the Boys. All right? We're showing love today on this show. I've successfully stopped Jesse from hitting the panic button or whatever was going on. But today, man, we're showing love to guys. But again, there are legitimate concerns. And I'm so happy about the show we got lined up. We got some good stuff coming down the pipe for a whole hour. Again, thank y'all for rocking with us. But guys, you know, over the weekend, there are some obvious signings and things that did happen, and Anthony Barr was one of those great signings. And a lot of people wanted to address the depth of the linebacker position. And Nate, I had an opportunity to conversate with you about the signing, but I wanted to know, what did you think about it, and what do you think obviously with his reputation, what his impact is going to be on this defense this year?
You know, I just like that signing because I tell people, the Cowboys, in my opinion, are signing the right guys. But now, will he play 300 snaps or will he play 75 snaps? We don't know. But we signed the right guy. He's been a captain wherever he's been. He's been a leader in the locker room. He's been a leader in the class. Every one of these guys, from Parsons down to Luke Gifford, can learn from this guy. Learn how to line up in the proper gap. Learn how to disguise. It is so much he can offer in a mature and right fashion. He understands who he is and where he at in his career at this time.
Kurt, what are your thoughts on it?
Oh, it's a big move for sure. They needed depth on this linebacking crew. They needed somebody like they've kind of pointed. Barr's a guy that can now step up and allow Parsons to go down and rush the passer. So I think it's a great – great deal. Now, you know, he's got a few days now to get in shape, or he's in shape, obviously, but kind of ramp up, as they've been saying. But key addition, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's wins across the board for everybody. Bringing in a guy like that with that type of athletic ability, with that type of experience, with that type of leadership. You know, anytime you add guys into your locker room, especially when you have young players. And I know that we put Micah Parsons on a pedestal as if he's been around this league for 5-10 years. It's only year two for him, right? And you got Jabril Cox coming into the fold, and Leighton Van Der Esch is still on his rookie deal, right? So, I mean, you're talking about a room full of young, inexperienced, so to say, guys. And then when you add a guy like Anthony Barr, who, by all accounts, comes in with the right attitudes, a guy who, like you said, been a captain before, you don't hear about the nonsense with him in the locker room, off the field. You hear about a guy who comes to work every single day, and you kind of insert that into the mix, then 100%, this is a win-win for the Cowboys. Now, what you want to make sure that you're able to do is you give him responsibilities and assignments that he is able to definitively do while still building up your Jabril Cox, while still giving your other guys opportunities to go out there and play, because he's only here for right now is a one-year rental. So, you know, we always talk about progress stopper. We don't want him to be a progress stopper. We want him to be in the progress of making this football team better, and that's also getting him in there, allowing him to play, but also making sure that you're bringing up the rear with those other guys who are going to be here for the foreseeable future.
What's it like now,
Nate? Can you please turn down the radio in the car?
What's it like now as players? You know, he's 2 weeks behind of joining the Cowboys. What's it like for him now to kind of integrate himself and learn what's going on?
The best thing about that is when you're dealing with a veteran guy, and defense is different than offense. Offense, you'll have different variations of, you know, number system, West Coast, and you have some that have a combination of both of those things. So trying to come in and do that. But for the defense, as a middle linebacker or a linebacker, cover three is cover three.
Right.
Cover four is cover four, right? Zone, you know, a green dog blitz is the green dog blitz. I don't care what system that you're in. It's the verbiage for him that kind of gets him. But, you know, cover one is cover one for a linebacker. You know, I know who I have to have in this coverage. It's the verbiage for him. But if you're saying, hey, we're in a cover four, my responsibility doesn't change. I've been running this for a long time. And then he comes from a place like hanging around with Zim, who is a defensive guy. You know, a lot of these coaches, whether it be Quinn or the likes, at some point in time probably looked at Zim and said, all right, I'm going to use some sort of iteration of that defense or how he calls different things. And interjecting him into this defense, I think it's easier to do than a guy like a Turpin who wasn't here for a long time and now has to hear and learn all this new verbiage on the offensive side of the ball, which he may have never played in.
And remember, he was with George Edwards.
And George Edwards too. Yeah. That's right.
That was exactly what I was about to say, Nate. That he's reunited with George Edwards, so that terminology learning curve may be a little bit less with a familiar voice in George Edwards. But Nate, I want to rely heavily on. Well, I'm sure all of the guys had an opportunity to watch training camp live and watch the wasn't a scrimmage, but live practice and some of those mojo moments that Coach Mike McCarthy always talks about. But guys, I wanted to, and Nate, I direct this at you. Just what were your thoughts on the live practice and just some of the things that you saw? Because obviously, there's a lot to take away from the practices there in Oxnard.
And practice started as way it's been starting. Ever since we put on pads, it takes the offense two or three series to get going because our defense just comes out the gate, play after play after play. And finally, the offense settles down, get into some type of rhythm. We're going to have to find some consistency on the offensive line. We got too much leakage going through. We have one receiver that Dak trusts that is besides 88, and that's number three, the Houston kid. Everybody else is just out there running routes.
Really?
To me. I mean, if you see something different, it's Dalton Schultz, it's C.D. Lamb, and it's Dennis Houston, and then they'll throw Turpin in there on a jet sweep or something like that, and they got my man Tony Pollard coming out of the backfield. Now, we'll see other guys make plays, but they're making those plays with Cooper Rush or the other kid, you know, Greer, I think his name is. So, I'm just saying what I am seeing, you know, and it's taking too long for our offensive line to gel. Thank God they got this thing coming up with Denver a couple of days.
Nate, let me ask you this. You know, in the press conference just a few minutes ago, Coach Mike McCarthy talked about the offense just kind of getting up to speed, that you cannot, during OTAs, have the same type of padded practices as you would. And he was basically alluding to it takes the offensive line a little bit longer to get acclimated in these. Do you buy that? Is that something that you felt as though in your career, without any contact in the offseason, that it's harder to just ramp things up as soon as training camp starts?
And it's even harder when you going back and forth at your five positions. You know, if this kid Smith can't get it done, let's put McGovern in there and let him get it done, because Tyron needs to work with him. You know, the center needs to work with him. Make up your mind and let's work. And that's why I'm hoping this Denver team can get things going. After this game, make a decision and let's ride with it. And if, you know, we understand, oh, this kid is smart. Oh, man, Tyler Smith is smart. Okay, if he's smart, let's start letting him get up to game speed. Let's start letting him get up to practice speed. Let's start letting him do some things. You know, now we can say politically correct, he's smart, but why you ain't got him started? you know, he's supposed to be changing the culture. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest. Jesse, what do you think?
I've told you this a time and time again before. I always leave offensive lineman questions.
Yeah, Nate sounds worried about the offensive line.
Nate?
Huh? You worried about the offensive line?
I got to do the show.
So, and here's the thing about, you know, when you're talking about, to Nate's point, is don't pee in my eye and tell me it's raining. Right? If you're telling me that this kid is smart, if you're telling me this kid is whatever he is, why isn't he starting? Why isn't he getting the bulk of the reps? Because the ideal goal of training camp is to get guys ready for the season. And to Nate's point, when you're looking at continuity, you got to have those guys in there getting as many reps
as
they can.
That's Nate's word. He is using continuity all training camp.
Because when it comes to the offensive line, it's the only that is the precise words to use. And it's not just can he block the guy in front of him. It's what happens when that defense goes tackle in twist. Are Tyron and I communicating that properly? What happens now when I got to help down on the center and then move to the second level of the linebacker, the middle linebacker? Or what? Are we communicating that clearly? What happens when I'm the pulling guard in this situation, whether I'm going right or left? Is that being, are my steps being communicated clearly? Is my footwork being distributed, you know, clearly? What happens now when I have to pass set? Is the back going to be on my right or my left? Where's the help coming from? All these different things is that when you're trying to learn a position, a new position, and you, I mean, you're up against it, right? Because we're 35 days away. Yeah. We're 35 days away from playing the Broncos. I mean, playing Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So every day that you're splitting reps with a guy that you're telling us is smart and physical and going to change the culture and be that stalwart in the offensive line, every day that you're splitting reps with him is a day that he's not getting everything he needs to be successful when he has to go up against Vita Vea.
Would you guys be disappointed if your number one pick wasn't starting?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm.
No. What'd you say, Nate?
Why would you draft him? We could have went and got somebody on defense at a linebacker position. We could have did something else and moved down and got 8,000 picks.
We definitely could have did that, Nate. But you know, my come away with it, obviously, I felt like the defense is just leaps and bounds that much more prepared for the season than the offensive line. And I think Coach Mike McCarthy hit the nail on the head when he said that. You know, because look, Nate's been on Terrence Steele. He has been giving him the business about how he practiced all those things. I mean, we talk about what we need interiorly. Let's talk about our right tackle. This is a guy that you are. Look, you let go of a guy to keep this guy, and you believe wholeheartedly in his ability. But right now, everything that I see from that every time is number 78 trying to trail behind somebody that's almost about to destroy Dak.
Yeah, he's not a pretty practice guy, man. Never have been. And I'm just hoping that he understands that he is the right tackle and that he continue to work hard and kind of be the best he can be. That's why I think this Denver deal coming up and the LA Charger deal, this is huge for everybody to get their minds locked in and to get ready for this season. I mean, last year they had fortune to have the four games. I think we had the Hall of Fame game. This year here, you're on a short leash, you know, so it comes to a point where you have to have a sense of urgency.
If he's not a good practice guy, does better in games, is that partly because they're scheming up games to help him out, or what's the reason for it?
Brother, I just don't know. You know, I asked him that question on the show the other day. You know, me and Shannon does a little show. Had I asked him that, he said, you know, I'm just trying things. I'm trying to get better. He said, you know, your games are good. The ones I've seen at right tackle, they're good. I mean, so I'm like, I didn't want to take away his confidence, but, you know, everybody's seeing the same thing. Is the defense that much better? We won't know until the season starts.
Now, guys, I said today is love day, and we're not showing love right now. So one of the guys that I wanted to definitely show love to, and I think he's someone that's came on, and, man, he has been a monster in Dan Quinn's defense, and is Jerron Kearse. I think Jerron Kearse, for me, at 6'4", 210 pounds, he is a guy, and I had to tell y'all this, like the read pass option offense drives me crazy. I don't like it. All right, I just don't understand why defenses can't stop that. It's like, you know, you had the wishbone back in the day. OU ran the wishbone. It gave people so many problems. And I've always figured, like, why can't defenses stop this? And it's all because of that safety. You know, if you're in a nickel and you got a small guy up there, then chances are he's probably not the guy that you want taking on that running back in the hole or trying to chase down that quarterback outside. Jerron Kearse is the great neutralizer and the guy that's showing it, even in college football, pro football, that having a guy like that, a big body, is paramount, and especially in Dan Quinn's system. So Jerron Kearse is the guy that I'm showing love to, and you saw in the practice there was a tip ball by Leighton Vander Esch and a pick six by Jerron Kearse in that mojo moment to get things started off. But I'll start with you. Who's a guy that you want to show a little love to, Jesse? I know that's not something you normally do, but
wait a second.
You know, another love to.
Why do I not? I don't come off.
You know
as
how
a guy.
You come on, man.
Come on, I'm all about the love, but I'm always about truth.
Yes, sir.
I'm always about that absolutely all day, every day. You know, I'm on the love train for Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz.
Oh, interesting. Well,
and here's why.
What's today's day?
I know. Today is the 8th of August at 12:50.
Okay.
I found myself rooting for Dalton Schultz. And maybe I'm wrong in it, but I love the fact that I love someone who works their way, and Jerron Kearse the same way, into a position of success.
That's right.
Opportunities are everything. And when you get him in the right situation, what are you going to do with him? And Dalton Schultz has done that to the point where they had to franchise tag him. And he wanted to get a long-term deal done. Everybody wants to get a long-term deal done. Yeah. But the thing that I love about what he's going, and I truly believe he's going to have a 100-catch season this year. He's become Dak Prescott's favorite target.
Yep.
And I am rooting for him to break the bank.
Wow.
I'm rooting, and this is the player in me. This is nothing against, I don't have any personal vendetta against the front office, but the player in me is rooting for Dalton Schultz to break the bank, to make it a very difficult decision at the end of the year on what you're going to have to do with him, but him essentially and going to get the money somewhere,
right,
whether it's here in Dallas or somewhere else, because I just love when dudes bet against themselves.
Bet on themselves.
Bet on themselves and win. And I think that's what Dalton Schultz is doing. He was, you know, when he first got here, he was behind.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't even talking about him being in that mix.
Blake Jarwin had him.
And this guy was like, well, what are you going to do? And then Blake Jarwin goes down, and all of a sudden now, here comes Dalton Schultz, and he becomes the favorite target of Dak Prescott. And that's key. We talk about guys having sponsors from coaches, you know, and how to make teams getting sponsors. When a quarterback like you, when a quarterback is looking for you,
that's all you need.
That go a long way.
Hey, that's all you need. What about you, Nate? Tell me about a guy you're showing love to today.
My question for Jess is, how much is he making this year, Jesse and Kurt?
11 some change?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, he's making $11 million. This is what I don't want to ever happen again here, y'all. This is what I don't ever want to happen again. Let's say you have 100 catches. We all bet they have 100 or more catches, maybe 10-plus touchdowns, close to 1,000 yards, and you pay him $15 million a year only for your coordinator to make him disappear like he's done other players. It scares me now when Cowboys pay guys because all of a sudden they start to disappear. And that is my big issue. You know, are we going to say, wow, he outplayed his contract only to, you know, and I know that's going ahead, but that costs us with several players, and that's costing us a little bit with Zeke. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you don't want him to get the bag and be schemed out.
Yeah, man, because it's not by his own choosing. It's like they do something different. But anyway, great pick, Jess. I mean, you took it right out of my mouth.
Nice.
Who's your guy?
Well, I don't know if this is a – I don't think he's under the radar, but I'm kind of showing some love to Van Der Esch. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler in his rookie year, had injuries the last 2 years. Last year, I think we kind of thought he was a has-been, you know. And so by the end of the season, they had Jalen Smith in there. They tried Keanu Neal at linebacker. And by the end of the season, Van Der Esch was getting the – you know, I think his snap counts were up over 80%. He was leading the team in tackles, you know. He was on pace for 120 tackle season given those last three or four games. But he's a guy that he's not the star anymore. He's not going to be. He's kind of a role player in some regards. But he's a guy that I think can be a key contributor. And right now it's Micah Parsons. We're looking at these other guys who are going to be the stars. They're the guys they're going to need. But they need Van Der Esch in there to do his thing.
Can I have one more? My heart's full. Can I add one more to my list?
Your heart is full. Yes, please.
My heart is full. I just want to get all this love out.
Okay.
Noah Brown.
Noah Brown.
Yeah. And what Noah Brown is doing, and it's not the splash plays, right? What Noah Brown is doing in a group of inconsistent players, he's being consistent.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that is, you don't understand how important that is. We already know what he's going to bring special teams. He's going to be a special teams guy. If Simi Fehoko could look at anybody, he needs to look at what Noah Brown is doing. Be a core special teams guy. And then when you get on the field, just be consistent. You don't have to be the wow guy. You don't have to be the fastest. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to make all the spectacular plays. They got CeeDee Lamb for all that kind of stuff. They got other guys to do that. But every time you line up, can you consistently do what was asked of you to do? Go in there and dig out a safety on a run play. Block a corner on the outside. Mm-hmm. Hey, make a tough catch in traffic. Complete a third down, keep the chains moving. And then when the time comes for you to make a play, make a play. But for the most part, and then hey, go down there and make a special teams tackle. Hey, be a solid guy on the punt return team. Be a solid guy on the kickoff return team. All these things, when you keep going into the meeting room, the coaches are going, all right, tell us about Noah Brown. And they go, well, coach, all he's done this week is he's had three special teams tackles. He's on all special teams. You know, he's playing the X, the Y, the Z, and he's doing everything that you need him to do. I mean, what do you – this is the guy – this is – and people say, well, he's been here since 2016. You wonder why? This is why.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
consistency. In a world full of inconsistency, this is one of those guys who has found his niche, and it's not going to be – maybe not even be what Cedric Wilson was. Maybe not be what LaRon Robinson was back in my day, or turn into Miles Austin or whatever it is. But these are the kind of guys you need on your roster. Good friend of mine, Matthew Slater, who played for the Patriots. Been in the league for almost 15 years. Been to the Pro Bowl maybe 8-9 times on special teams. May, at the end of the year, literally play 70 snaps on offense. But every time he's in there, he knows what it'd be. Every time coach looks at him, he knows what to line up at. I can count on a dude like that for any and everything that needs to be done offensively and special teams wise. So Noah Brown, kudos to you, my brother.
Do you think Noah, you know, given the state of the wide receiver right now and the questions about depth, he averaged 25% of offensive snaps last year. Is he a guy that can take on a bigger?
I think literally he has to be. What do you say, Nick?
He lost 15 pounds. The scouts have been real high on him. Mm. And like Jesse said, it all started last year, Jess. Man, me and you was on the same guy as Cedric Wilson. Cedric Wilson has shown any guy, if you want to be successful, be able to play all three positions, be in shape, be ready. You know, because I remember Coach McCarthy said about Cedric Wilson in the middle of the season, I love Cedric. Minimal reps, knowing what to do on every position. And that's what this kid has done. Noah has decided in his mind, I'm going to be that 3C, that 4A player, that when they call me at any position, and they did that yesterday in the practice 2 days ago, he started the practice going. He started by catching a couple of nice out routes, a couple of comeback routes. He started it. Houston caught a fire, you know, and Dalton is doing Dalton. So I'm with you guys, man, but I'm going to tell you something, man. If they do this thing right, man, we're going to have a nice little mix with Tony Pollard, with this Noah Brown kid, with CeeDee Lamb, with Dalton Schultz. they do this right, these guys are going to be kind of creative players. That's what Zeus called them. Zeus. Y'all know who Zeus is, right?
No.
Isaiah Sandback. They changed his name to Zeus.
And on that note, because we have Jesse. Jesse's in the studio.
Oh, well, there goes all my love. Yeah. Who calls him Zeus? Everybody call him. No.
So Jesse's.
I'm just saying, Jesse, they call him Zeus out here.
Hey, come on. Nate, what I've gotten is Jesse to show love today, and then you bring in the compliment to Isaiah being Zeus. Man, come on now. I got to take his temperature now. And make sure. Okay. Hey, we're going to step away for a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Hanging with the Boys.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pregame sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel? Attend the best tailgate party in Texas? Tour the Star? And talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls. With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Attention Cowboys fans looking for the best shave of your life. There's a new official razor of the Dallas Cowboys, Shave Logic. Imagine not having to buy blades as often and getting more smooth shaves than your old razor, guaranteed or your money back. After more than 10 years of research and over 150 company patents, Shave Logic is proud to offer Cowboys fans a special offer. For a limited time, visit ShaveLogic.com and get a free $10 gift card with your purchase. Go to ShaveLogic.com now for more smooth shaves guaranteed.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Back in action here at the Star in Frisco from the SWBC Mortgage Studios. Heckma Harrison joined by Jesse Holly showing love. Kurt Daniels, the co-signer. Let's call him the co-signer.
No. Beacon 904.
A mean co-signer.
Nah, that's cool. And I'm going to laugh at that. Like, you know how you drive sometimes and you're sitting down somewhere you just start laughing? You're like, what you laughing at? Like, Heckma called Kurt Beacon 900 credit score about 1 o'clock today, and it just hit me again. And I look over, you got like the good polo shirt on with the undershirt.
Hey, stay starts down now.
It screams 900, Kurt. It does. It really does scream.
Nate. I don't know if I should be insulted or.
No, man, it's a straight. Hey, this is a straight compliment.
Like you, I know that you didn't grow up and realize that your mother put the lights in your name when you was little. I know that didn't happen to you.
Hey, I can't get cable right now because
You know you're gonna like. Wait, you I got debt. What, oh, what?
How?
Yeah, it's a light bill in your name from 93. 93? I was 6.
And the great Nate Newton on the phone in Oxnard. Nate, listen, man. This and let me make sure that I say this. This second segment is brought to you by blockchain.com. And Nate, look, I got a question for both you and Jesse. At this point, hey, we're at the halfway point of camp right now, guys. Are you getting tired of each other at this point? Are you tired of camp food? Are you tired of your roommate? I mean, come on, man. Both of you guys live pretty high on the hog. I mean, I just figured, like, at this point, y'all be a little annoyed. Nate, what about you, man? Any camp stories about being annoyed?
Yeah, it happened by the second or third day for us because, you understand, we came out first 10 days of tour. It was 2 days. So by the third day, we were very annoyed. The food wasn't really that great in Austin, and it was worse in Wichita. So, yeah, we get annoyed real quick. But, you know, it was all good. We had to go to work. That's all that was. Just go to work and have your business.
Hmm. What about you, Jess?
Going to work. He went to work on a big steak the other night.
He did.
You see that? And he's showing everybody. What was the name of that restaurant y'all at, by the way?
Yabba Dabba Dooza, the Rockstone Quarry.
Did you say Yabba Dabba Dooza? Fritz Stones? But what about you, Jess?
It's a lot of horny dudes out there, man.
It's a what? A
lot of horny dudes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in this point in time. No, listen to me. We're at this point in time in camp.
What? You're what?
They had nowhere to get the hormones away.
We're in this portion of the camp where the hormones is high.
That's right.
No, I'm telling you. This is what camp eyes come into play.
Camp eyes. I remember you talking about camp eyes.
Camp eyes.
You've been away from your people, you know, about 3 weeks. Wow. You know what I mean? Some of these guys are young.
Wait a minute. Camp eyes?
Camp eyes. Okay. Yeah, camp eyes. Okay, so those that don't know, camp eyes is like an Instagram filter.
Uh-huh.
See, when you're in camp for a long time, and you know, every day you wake up to a male roommate.
Yeah.
You go down to breakfast to a bunch of males. You go into meetings with a bunch of males. You go to the training room, bunch of males. Right. Weight room, bunch of males. Shower, bunch of males. Back to practice, bunch of male, and his testosterone is built up. I'm angry. Some folks is trying to get a job. Some folks trying to keep a job, and you got nowhere to release this at. And so when you start looking around these camp eyes, this filter comes over your eyes, and the one that might be built like a linebacker, you start saying, you be like, man, you know what? You see so-and-so elbow? That thing kind of cute. That elbow kind of cute. Oh, and you start making up the figment of your imagination. You start seeing stuff. You be like, man, I ain't gonna lie, shorty got the ice arch eyebrow. That turned me on. That nice arch eyebrow. This is you guys wanna know where the fighting and stuff comes from?
This is it.
They horny. Okay. Dudes is horny. And these jokers is young.
Yeah.
You know, when you young, you
22, 23.
Yeah, you man. You,
24.
Kurt. You got a lot of kids, Kurt. You were horny at one point in time. When you were young.
One point in time.
Yeah. Once horny.
Yeah. That's the song that's playing in all these guys' heads right now. Oh, me so horny. They put that on. This is where the aggression comes from, fellas. You got nowhere to release this aggression. And so this is a lot of horny guys out there right now, man.
You did ask Jesse to show the love.
I'm showing the love. I'm showing the love, man.
Man, Jesse, come on, man. Why are you doing me like this, man? You know, I'm trying to keep this thing on.
No, I'm just
the rails.
You asked me my camp experience, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm giving you my camp experience.
Well, so I guess I would try and segue this into this, you know, trip to Denver being long overdue for these guys to get an opportunity to go up against a different team, but I'm sure that's not the different team that they're looking for, according to Jesse.
Horny travels. Horny don't go nowhere.
Hey, Jesse, give a new meaning to Mile High.
Yeah. Horny travels. The only difference now is you get a chance to look at a different set of camp eyes. You know, the ladies over there might be different. You know, you might get a chance to go to a restaurant and look at a different face. But, you know, they packing a horny in their travel bags. That horny ain't going nowhere.
Well, getting an opportunity to go up against a different team.
And those dudes horny too.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are going to be some camp fights.
That's what camp fights. Camp fights is not because dudes are just overly violent.
Right.
I've
just been around a bunch of third legs
all day
for the last 3 weeks. And ain't got no, because you in a room with another dude. You can't even get right with yourself in the room with another dude.
That was us, Jesse. These dudes in practice 2 days and be off for 24 hours. So
you know,
they don't have that problem.
I mean, listen. Oh, now, there are exceptions to the rule.
Right.
Like I told y'all before, when I was in Cincinnati, I saw Chad Johnson. You know, Chad Johnson had a black Murata, right? It was, smoke tint all the way around.
I seen him one night pull up to the little security guard box where you got to let you in. He rolled the window down about eye level high, slipped the money out the window. Security guard took it. He went on forwards. Chad wasn't horny again. He wasn't fighting. I saw Miles Austin come in there with Kim Kardashian a few nights. His hamstrings was wore out, but he wasn't horny.
I'm telling you, she tore up some hamstrings.
Yeah. Oh,
so here's the thing that's going to take you out of the mood then. Kickers. Camp. Let's talk about. Oh, yeah. See how that changed.
Yeah. Flaccid. Is it called flat? Was it flaccid?
Curse at you. Kicker. Guys, are we at the point now where you're like, okay, we got to get on the phone. We got to get a kicker in the building.
They mentioned that in one of the articles I was reading. It's like there may not be that much better out there than Lirum.
No.
Man. And here's the frustrating part, is that we all have eyes, right? And then even camp eyes will see this. But then Jerry tries to come and says, oh, we're fine. Mm-hmm. I just can't wait to see him kick the ball in that controlled, stadium, 32 yarders. I'm like, dude, stop trying to sell me this thing, man. Don't try to sell me that these jokers, this is Oxnard. The conditions are okay. Maybe a little windy, but they ain't making nothing.
It's not New York in December.
How do a dude kick an extra point short? How do you kick an extra point short? Mm. Y'all know I struggle with names. Y'all with me all year. Then they say, Nate.
Which one?
You going to learn his name? I'm like, I'm going to learn his name? You talking about this dude that just kicked this extra point and it went short? Come on, bro. Come on, he probably don't even know his own name right now. Come on now. These dudes, this is not right. And I asked a few guys who've been around these camps. Jesse, I'm asking you, Heckman, and Kurt, the 9-point score.
900 credit score, baby.
Yeah. Have y'all ever seen it this bad?
No.
No, it's bad. And I think the one thing that – I think what Jesse's saying is what I'm not buying and what you can't sell to the players either. Is that in the NFL, the point margin for the margin for victory is between 3 and 7 points. And you're going to need, as we know, you're going to need a kicker. You're going to need a guy that can step in, that can make that. I don't think anyone has any confidence, especially those players. And so I'll let Nate, how do you sell as a player? You're out there and you're watching these guys as we saw Dak trying to amp up the crowd as I believe it was Garibay was getting ready to kick. How do you convince your team that one of these guys you can have confidence in?
Jimmy convinced us because he would have guys on another field kicking daily. Guys from it didn't matter. High school kid, it didn't matter. Somebody was going to be on the other field after practice every day kicking until they found. And then now they say we don't have a kicking coach. We had Hoffman. He and Ben after Genie. We had guys that specialized nothing but in helping kickers psychologically and physically find their swing. And then they say we don't have that on our team. We need to go out and hire one of those guys, a kicking specialist.
We
don't have one on this team.
Here's another thing that frustrates me. I got all my love out. Now I'm missing my frustration. Because we hear from the top of, boy, I'd do anything. The checks that I would write, the things that I would do. And this is something where, to Nate's point, go get the specialists. Go get the dude who will right these wrongs. Go get the person who you can have on staff so that you're not having to worry about going in a game and your kicker missing. If it's a technique thing, if you're saying this guy is right, but we don't have a guy that's here that's able to technically correct what needs to be corrected, if that's not Bones Fossil, then Bones Fossil needs to get on the horn and find that guy. Yeah. He needs to bring in that guy as an intern. He needs to bring that guy as a stipend guy. He needs to bring that. I don't know how you want to do it. However you want to create this thing. But that's the part that is frustrating because you tell me that you're willing to sign a check to ensure. Now does a kicker ensure that you're going to win a Super Bowl? Yes, no, maybe so. I don't know. You're going to need a kicker at some point in time of the year. You're going to need one every game, you hope, because you're kicking these extra points from touchdowns. But when it matters the most, will we have that same fear of going? And this now, and you think about it, this goes back into decision making on offense and defense. Because as a defensive coordinator, I'm saying, man, this game is kind of tight. If it's a 3-point game, then I don't know if we're going to win it or not. You know, or if it's a 2-point game. So I got to call my plays differently. Right. Offensively, you know, can I be more aggressive? Because I know that we can hit from 50 plus out, or, you know, how am I going to call this thing? Now they're second guessing themselves. And now you find yourself in a situation where because a guy you're not confident in, for whatever that reason may be, technical or mental or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You don't want to have the one guy who can't get a redo. If Dak throws an incomplete pass, guess what? Got at least three more downs.
Right.
Yeah. Got, you know, every game, if he throw an interception, he going to get a couple more series to right his wrong. For kickers, you get one time.
Why don't they place more emphasis on this, even as going so far as the drafting guy? I mean, ever since Dan Bailey left, we've had kind of a revolving door of kickers come through. And even Zuerlein last year was sketchy. I mean, why aren't they?
And it was better than this.
As you said, it's such an important part of the game. Why don't they place more emphasis?
What'd you say, Nate?
Hey, this is what I believe, fellas. You know, I never 48 yards. That is my Jesse Heckman and Kurt. That's my cutoff limit. I expect you to be in the mid 90s, 48 yards and in. I expect success. Now, when you get 49, 50, 51. I'm not as critical. But you're talking about 32 yards, 25 yards? Come on, fellas. That's got to be 99 to 100%. Yeah. These guys, they scared to put the ball past 37. These guys ain't hitting 37-yard field goals.
Yeah, and they're doing that in high school. Yeah, they're doing that in high school. But, you know, look, guys, my thought process on the kicker has always been, if kicking becomes an event, then you're in trouble. And right now, kicking is an event, and I feel like we're in trouble. So, look, I don't know how you make this thing better, especially looking at the numbers that we had last year with Greg Zuerlein. He wasn't perfect by a long shot. And like you said, Kurt, even going all the way back to Dan Bailey.
Yeah,
we've been on this roller coaster at the kicker position. But we're going to hold what we got right here. I know it's track season, guys, and we're going to talk about the passing of the baton coming up next here on Hangin'.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. I'm a broken traffic light. Stop and go is the name of my game. It's easy. You go, they go. What was it? They go, you go? And if you have the wrong car insurance, these repair costs could stop you in your tracks. So get Allstate's new low auto rate and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Not available in every state based on coverage and limits selected. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, Cowboys fans, if you're thinking about attending a game this season, visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today. Stay at the team hotel, have dinner with a Cowboys legend, and experience AT&T Stadium's exclusive VIP Owners Club. Also, tour the Star, get autographs from your favorite players, and talk X's and O's with me, Mickey Spagnola. The official travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys will take care of all your travel needs. Visit CowboysTravel.com.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
back in action here at the SWBC Mortgage Studios. And come watch the Cowboys practice during training camp at the Star, presented by American Airlines. Open practice will take place for back-to-back nights at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Join us for Cowboys Night on Tuesday, August 23rd, starting at 4 p.m., and open practice on Wednesday, August 24th at 6 p.m. For more information, visit thestarinfrisco.com. Come, man, I tell you, Jesse, look.
You know what I want Shannon to do? I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
I mean
what's
to cut
that?
You, off. What you, know, Shannon's our leader on the show when we don't have the great Heckman leading us. But Shannon's also the director of social media and social media content. And a lot of times those players, when they're coming off the field, they'll have that question.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think I need Shannon to pose that question. Like,
camp eyes.
Like, on your day off, would you, A, play the game, B, relax, or C,
yeah,
let that thing loose. I'm gonna see. I'm telling you, how many people gonna pick C?
So we were talking about passing the baton.
I'm gonna text Shannon right now.
We were talking about passing the baton. This is a different baton that we're passing right now.
On the website,
and one of the guys that definitely is in a situation where, look, man, it's not, he's not going anywhere. He's a staple on this team, and that's DeMarcus Tank Lawrence. He has been the leader, the hot boys leader, for a number of years here for the Dallas Cowboys. But now, finding himself in a situation where Micah is should be the unquestioned leader based off of his production on the field. And everything about him is just, he's a magnet. And guys are everybody, you look at the promos, the marketing, everything is all Micah. Tank's there. It's not as though he's an afterthought. But for a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence that is obviously having an awesome camp, is this passing of the torch for him maybe a difficult part? Or is this something that he's saying, Jesse, I welcome it with open arms and I have to give this to the young guy?
I mean, passing means I literally, like, willingly gave this to you. There was no passing. It was more so like, this is a Jack move.
Yeah.
Let me get that.
Took it.
Micah took it. Yeah. Micah showed up and was like, hey, I know all you other guys who are around here kind of doing this leadership thing and all this. It's a Jack move. Let me get that. Let me take that up off of you.
I mean, like you said earlier, he's still a second-year player. I mean, does he have the same, skins on the wall in the like on the field? Yeah, Micah's the guy. In the locker room, would it still be Lawrence?
No.
No?
No. You go with the alpha dog.
That's interesting.
You go. Now, I'm not saying that DeMarcus doesn't have a say-so in the locker room.
Yeah.
But if they both talk at the same time, more eyes would go to 11 than they went to 90.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I think at this point, when you look at Micah is that player that no longer has puppy breath. He is the he is the tone setter for the defense. I think everybody throughout the season has – they've basically used that energy, especially last year. I mean, Micah was all over the place. And once you saw Micah get started, it was like all the guys wanted to get in on that. Not only that, with the turnovers and everything that was created, we've made a lot about, will this defense be as advantageous getting those turnovers? But I think where they can definitely make a big splash is sacks. Sack strip fumbles, things like that change the game. And I see a lot of that happening with the pressure the way that Dan Quinn is going to use Micah Parsons. But I don't believe that DeMarcus Lawrence is a forgotten man. I mean,
No. I don't want to say he's a forgotten man. But the question was, is this a passing of the baton from one player to the next? No, it's not. DeMarcus Lawrence is still a very, very integral part of what – if this defense is going to have success, it's going to be in addition to – right, it's going to be Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and Sam Williams and Anthony Barr and company. It's not going to be – they're not going to have success in lieu of him. Like, if he's out, that's going to be a huge hole to fill.
Yeah.
Having him on this team, whether it's for run-stopping ability, for depth purposes, and he can still get after the quarterback for you. So I'm not saying, like, oh, get this bum out of here. No. Tank is still a viable, very, very viable, valuable part of this defense. Mm-hmm. It just ain't a passing of the baton. This is Micah's team.
Yeah.
At least defensively. This defense belongs to Micah. Micah is the heartbeat of this defense. This defense will go as Micah Parsons go. If for, knock on wood or whatever, if Micah Parsons is not there, it will take a hit. It will take a significant hit, and you've seen the energy change. I laughed because you said hot boys. We saw what this defense was when the hot boys was leading this defense. Mm-hmm. It was all talk and no action. It was all bark, no bite.
Right.
And then the young bull came in here, the young lion came in here, and that row got a little bit louder, but those bites got a little bit more vicious. And so this defense belongs to Micah Parsons. It is his defense. Dan Quinn understands that. That's why he's positioning him to be the versatile guy that he is. Bringing in Anthony Barr does what? It gives me a middle linebacker that I know that can run stop, that can be solidified in that middle. So now I can do just about anything that I want to do with number 11. I don't have to designate him to that one spot because we can't stop the run or whatever. I can now place him on the right side, the left side. They can double A gap blitz. He can back, you know, fall back in coverage. I can do different. I can blitz the safety and drop Micah Parsons back in as a safety. I can do so much other stuff because now I got a guy like Anthony Barr who's a veteran in that spot, and I know that can hold it down. Tank is a part of this.
Right.
It's all in. But yeah. This defense no longer belongs to Tank Lawrence.
What's that like for a veteran like that to have that kind of taken away, as you say?
For him, it's a challenge. And you heard him and Micah go back and forth this year. Micah was saying, if the standard is that, then I'm going to beat 15. I'm going to beat 20, whatever it is. You know. And Tank saying, I'll take the challenge, whatever it is. You know, whatever that kind of thing is. For Tank, it's a personal battle now. It's let me show that I am valuable.
Right.
Let me show that, you know, hey, young pup, it ain't your team. Or, you know what, when y'all talk about what this defense did successfully, you talk about me in that same breath. And so I'm not saying that he takes it. And then he can also go to the bank and they'll call him Mr. Lawrence when he walks in the bank because the money is already in there.
That's another point. You know, obviously, you know, in this league, if guys are getting paid a lot and they can get that version cheaper, they're going to go with the cheaper version, especially when you look at a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, who has been a great pro here. Let me just say that I'm a big Tank fan, but the sacks and what he's been paid to do, the production on that has gone down. I mean, the last double-digit season he had was 2018. And so you start to ask yourself, okay, from a payment production standpoint, maybe it's not there. Everyone says it. Hey, man, Tank against the run. He's vicious. But they're not paying him for the run. They're mm-hmm. paying him to get after the quarterback. And especially when you got guys like Micah and Dante Fowler and Terrell Basham and Dorrance Armstrong and all those young Lions in the room with him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's got some pressure on him because of that contract. And, most people, even though you said he's been good against the run, most people see it as he hasn't lived up to that contract yet. But to Jesse's point, this might be I got to prove myself now. I got to show something for multiple reasons, and that's just going to benefit the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you let go of your edge rusher, Gregory, goes to the Broncos, and you saw the impact that he had last year. I mean, it wasn't a whole – I mean, he didn't have those numbers that made you just fall over. But, again, you saw the kind of impact that he had. Tank, not so much. Dorrance Armstrong comes in. He has six sacks, you know, and yeah. Then you're starting to say, all right, this is where the future is. I just wonder for Tank Lawrence, does he see it that way? Is he a guy that's saying to himself, like – man, this is the year that I definitely have to put the numbers where they need to be if I'm going to further my career here in Dallas or somewhere else. And I'm not trying to retire Tank. I'm just basically saying that you feel what I'm saying.
I pegged Tank to be a intelligent individual. I've had conversations with him before, you know, in different settings, and he comes off to be a very intelligent dude. And he's been around a while to understand the nature of the business. He knows the number that he gets, that direct deposit comes every Tuesday. He knows that number, and he knows that I have to match productivity, not just being solid in the run. No, I got to get those double-digit sacks again. That's what I'm here for. And he knows that when you look across that offensive line, that thing getting younger and younger and younger, and despite you still being young and average Joe age, you getting up there long in the tooth in NFL age with the growing salary. So Tank's not one of the guys who does not understand the business. I don't think he gets emotionally involved, you know, saying, well, if this happens, that happens. He knows the business of this thing. He knows that number is getting large.
Yeah.
And he knows that I have to start now producing to match that number, or those young guys, those Sam Williamses of the world, those Micah Parsons of the world, those Bashams of the world, those guys, they're going to try to find those guys at a cheaper rate, and they'll ship me off somewhere else because that tag just gets a little bit too big.
Man, good podcast today, guys. I'm telling you, Jesse almost hurt me. And I'm telling you, I laughed myself into a cramp here, man. I'm Camp Eyes, it's embedded in my soul.
Send the HR calls to you.
Yeah. I'll send all those over to him. But look, before I go, I want to give thanks to Jazz in the Back, Terrence, and follow DallasCowboys.com, the app, and all the great stories that these guys have coming out. Rob Phillips, Kyle Yeomans, Mickey Spagnuolo. Now we have No C in the building, man. My congratulations, man. No C in the building. Just so many great things. So many great things happening on DallasCowboys.com, all the podcasts. So stay rocking with us. Like I said, man, camp, we're at the halfway point. And so got install days today and tomorrow. Team leaves for Denver, I believe, on Wednesday. Practice on Thursday. And obviously, the game this weekend, but hey, for Jesse, for the 900 Beacon Diesel, this has been Hanging with the Boys. We'll catch you next time.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?